Michael Avery with Classic Business on Classic 1027.
The next time you drive past someone lugging one of those giant bags of recyclable rubbish down the street, just take a moment to think. More than 43,000 South Africans make a living sorting through people's waste, separating it for sale to recycling agencies across the country. And 8,000 of these impoverished South Africans call the townships and the slums of Johannesburg home. They eke out a living, making our spaces cleaner, friendlier environments in which to live. And my next guest quit his job in banking and started Unconventional Media, a business that is about as unconventional as the name, in order to give back to these waste collectors and to society as a whole. Sifiso Ngabesi, the CEO of Unconventional Media, which is now Unconventional Waste. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And you're joined by Kelebogile Malapiane, the senior manager at the Maxim Incubator at the Innovation Hub. And you spent a lot of time at the incubator, Sifiso. So, Kelebogile, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for having me.
As I said, I don't use the word dung beetle lightly. The Amabungani Center for Investigative Journalism has that proud African beetle as its emblem, its logo. But I think many people, when they look at the work that these individuals do, these waste collectors, tend to look down on them and tend to feel sorry for them. You saw an opportunity to roll up your sleeves and get involved, Sifiso, and to help. Just tell me how Unconventional Media came into being.
Yeah, sure. So the company now is now called Unconventional Waste Solutions. So we've changed the name from Unconventional Media to Unconventional Waste. And how the whole idea came about is through an interaction with this lady who used to come to my house to pick up rubbish from a waste bin. You know, after coming a number of times, I decided to interact with her just to find out what she was doing and why she was doing it. And her name was Mama Boso. You know, I discovered that, you know, she was actually collecting things like paper, boxes, cans and so forth, so she can provide food for three kids. And I think I was inspired by that story. So, and Unconventional Media was already born at that time. So, and that's when the concept, which is under Unconventional Waste, Abo Makhereza, that's what it's called, will simply translate to recycling hustlers. That's what we call them in the township, right? So, and that's when the idea came about. So I decided to build this dummy trolley for her just to help her out. And just because the trolley that she was using, it was ragged. It was, something that was not conducive for both the motorist and herself. So I built this dummy trolley for her, and as I was constructing the trolley, I came to realize that, you know, we can make this thing a much more sustainable project rather than a once-off charity case where I just gave out this trolley. Then the whole branding idea came about and said, how about we create branding where we give opportunities to companies to brand the trolley and advertise and punt their brands. And that's how the Abo Makhereza trolley idea came about.
So you're really solving for a pain point for these waste collectors. And sure. I'm sure many listeners will be very familiar with some of those rickety little trolleys that are used by many waste collectors. What you've effectively designed is a big plastic drum with the ability to brand the drum on the outside.
Yeah, and also just, you know, just give the guys a bit of dignity, as you said earlier on. You know, these guys are usually shunned upon, so if you see them down the road, you get annoyed. Chances are a typical South African will get annoyed, you know, but they play a critical role in terms of, one, cleaning our environment, and these are the people who depend on surviving this income on a daily basis to buy bread, milk and the basics. So but for us, it's not only just providing the trolley to these waste pickers, but also just to go a step further by providing other interventions. For instance, we provide training to the waste pickers. We train them on aspects like financial literacy, business literacy. We also train them on health and safety. And lastly, we train them on repurposing the waste, because we see an opportunity in terms of, you know, not only they should focus on the process that they receive by selling the waste, but we should equip them with skills in terms of how can they reuse and repurpose the waste and make additional income. So the project is just broader than providing gear, trolleys and so forth.
And has it evolved like that naturally over time? You've just seen that clearly this is has potential for growth in other areas.
Yeah, and also because, you know, the whole branding idea, trying to capitalize on charging advertising on the trolleys was not, it didn't fly, to be honest with you. So we as a business, we had to evolve. And that's why we decided to go into the waste sector as well, right? And we said, how about we package this product as a CSI initiative that a company can invest in. And that's how the project has evolved over the years.
I was going to ask how you've developed it into something that is slightly more sustainable, no pun intended. Sure. How did you get involved in the Innovation Hub?
I think it was back in 2014 or 2015 when Abu Makhareza was still an idea, when we had our first prototype. And I think we just needed someone to partner with in terms of growing the concept and for us just to understand in terms of how do we turn a concept into a viable, sustainable business idea, because that's a very, you know, having a concept and having a business are very two different things, and the journey in between is very, very long. So I joined the hub, I think, in 2014, as I said. And thereafter, you know, we've been incubated, and the hub managed to give us skills like in terms of entrepreneurial skills, you know, how to run a business, how to run your finances, and so forth. So we've been involved with the hub for about 5 years now.
And Kelebogile, it's so important that period of incubation. The Innovation Hub really supports entrepreneurs across the spectrum here, specifically with social, environmental challenges that are faced by these entrepreneurs as well. You're really looking to enhance their competitiveness through these stepped incubation programs. How exactly are they structured?
So the Innovation Hub has four different business incubation programs. We have the Maxim, for which I'm the senior manager. Then there is the Climate Innovation Center, which looks at green economy. Then we have the Biopark that looks at the pharmaceutical area. And the last one is the Ekasi Townships, focuses on revitalizing the township economy and just bringing services through to the people at the townships. What we offer is both at a pre-commercialization stage and post-commercialization acceleration assistance. So we have a program running for 12 months. Say, as Fisa came through and he had not yet hit the market, we assist him to get to that level through our pre-incubation process. We offer mentorship. We get them to have training, different types of training. On a quarterly basis, we sit with them to find out what assistance they need. Then we link them with the relevant mentor that will help them to get that milestone going. When it is done, we sit again in the next quarter, and then in that fashion, we are able to find out how everybody is doing.
And those mentorships are vitally important. How do you build that mentorship network to grow the pool of mentors, potential mentors that you have out there? Because we sit and have this conversation around small business being the engine of growth, the engine of job creation, and there are a lot of skills in the country that we could be tapping, people retiring and still wanting to give back and contribute. So how do you build that mentorship network?
Can I say that actually that still remains a challenge to a great extent, because finding a good mentor is not as easy as it sounds, you know? We have a whole lot of people that are applying to get through, but then they tend to confuse it with consultation. And then good mentors, we've realized, are those that have been there long enough. They're not really looking to get money out of it. Mm. So we have a stipend that we give out, so we're not really paying proper consultation fees. So there's a little stipend that we say, thank you for helping out. So essentially, we look for people in different fields. So it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of mentorship program. We have mentors that are specialists in marketing, in finances, branding, overall business management strategy kind of thing. So we pull them up in different sectors so they can assist us. So very conscious of it.
Yeah, Mark Wayner was on the program a couple of weeks ago talking about his own show, The Mentorship Challenge, and how important it is for South Africans who've made it to give back. Mm-hmm. And it's in that category that you're generally going to find someone who's not in it for a consultation fee, but really is invested in imparting knowledge and ensuring that we build a sustainable South Africa. Sifiso, what did you get out of this association with the Innovation Hub? If you were to look back on where your business was and where you are now, what sort of role did it play in your formation?
I guess the biggest thing was the guidance, because as a young upcoming entrepreneur, I was still word behind the ear. So I didn't know much about, you know, running a proper business. So for me, that was that. And also, funny enough, the Innovation Hub is one of my clients, so part of the business involves us providing waste management services to either corporates, institutions, individuals, and so forth. So the Innovation Hub, luckily, they gave us that opportunity to to service them as a waste management company. So we've got two on-site sorters at that building, whereby we just recycle and provide waste management services. So they've been, so they've truly demonstrated, you know, a true, you know, the idea of an incubator in terms of providing market access to young entrepreneurs.
And proof of concept, and certainly walking the talk in backing one of your entrepreneurs, Caleb.
It makes no sense to invest so much and then turn back and look the other way. So if we are saying he's good enough to even graduate out of our program, why not invest back into what we have just started?
Absolutely. Yeah. Safisa, your lessons that you've learned so far, I find so often entrepreneurs like to listen to other entrepreneurs who've been there, who've done it, but not just the successes. They want to hear about the hard times, the failures, and to learn from those as well. What have you used that perhaps you've stumbled upon and fallen, but dusted yourself and got back up and said, right, I'm going to learn from that situation and I'm going to move on? What would you say was one of your biggest?
I think for me, it was, you know, I think we entrepreneurs, we tend to hoard to a concept. You know, once you create a concept, you think, we get mesmerized by it and we think it's everything. And I think what I've learned, what I've picked up is that, you know, an idea or a concept has to evolve. And also it has to cater to the needs of the customer. So sometimes we just create this concept focusing on the product, the benefits and the features, but we don't actually ask ourselves, does it really actually solve the customer's problem? So I think that's what my product project and my company as a whole taught me, you know, to start thinking like that. You know, so, and I think, you know, obviously like any other entrepreneur, you go through different, you know, different journeys, different difficulties, when finding market access are the two biggest things that I think we entrepreneurs face on a regular basis. So, and I think we're still going through that. And I think I'm still discovering my journey as an entrepreneur. I think I'm still learning. But the biggest thing that I think entrepreneurs should focus on is just to build that network where they get enough support, whether through the likes of the Innovation Hub or through a mentor, but because you just need to go through that learning in terms of how to run a sustainable and profitable business.
And don't be wedded to that idea. If it's not working, if it needs changing, if your customers are giving you feedback and saying, this isn't quite hitting it for us, then be flexible enough to change.
And just to add on that, you know, because we were, I think, focusing mainly on the marketing budgets of companies. We were targeting to get Coca-Cola to spend money to advertise on the trolleys, whereas Coca-Cola was saying, but you know, we wouldn't put our brand on a moving trash bin. And they've got a valid point because they've got brand integrity, values, and values that need to adhere to. So, you know, and we had to evolve and say, you know, how about we focus mainly on CSR? How about we repackage this product that speaks to the needs of the customer? And that's what we did exactly.
Well, very interesting. Thank you so much for your time, Safisa Ngobesi, the CEO of Unconventional Waste Collectors, and Caleb Ogile Malopiane, Senior Manager for the Maxim Incubator at the Innovation Hub, talking all about innovation, inspiring entrepreneurs, and helping build that layer of SMEs that the NDP speaks to, and that certainly has been the foundation of what the new administration is looking for from South Africans. You're listening to Classic Business.